Welcome to Reframing Our Stories, the podcast. This podcast is about provocative conversations with beautiful thinkers about topics that matter and the stories that have helped them reframe their lives. Grab something cozy or put on your walking shoes and let's reframe. Welcome back to Reframing Our Stories. Today, we get to talk a lot about reframing. I know really one of the reasons why I named my business Reframing Our Stories and then created this podcast was because I've been doing that so much in my life. I've had to reframe. I had to understand how I talk to myself and why I created beliefs for myself of who I was. And then how to enter this world living more authentically into who I am. And it's something that I really am still working on and struggle with daily. And I also recognize that so many people are doing the same thing. It's hard. It's hard to really learn how to live into who we are and think about the messages we were given as children and why those messages were given to us and then how we can change those. And then how we can do better, you know, for our children and who are coming up behind us and how we can continue to make our world a world where we can generate more peace and care and compassion and love for one another. So when we hear about people who have reframed their story and shifted their own lives and relationships, we want to hear more. And that is what interested us about Christina. Christina Woods combines her background in corporate leadership along with her life experiences in dealing with trauma and abandonment to empower other women to trust their intuition and set themselves free of self-doubt. As the CEO and founder of Christina Woods Hypnotherapy and Coaching, Christina has extensive experience working on complex challenges and pulling potential out of others so that they can become self-reliant individuals. Through this deep hypnotherapy and coaching work, she empowers women to shed old programming so they can live the life they deserve. She has been honing her intuition and spiritual energy practice throughout her entire life, and it is this experience, knowledge, and wisdom that she brings to every client during each session. Christina wants everyone to stop looking outside for what they need and instead look inside themselves. She helps her clients step into their true authentic self, free of self-sabotaging behavior, so they can live a life full of deep meaning and potential. I know that you're going to really enjoy this interview today. Christina, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, Kara, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So I have these days where I continuously feel so busy and overwhelmed. And I know that I annoy most of my family members with how annoyed and overwhelmed I am and just busy. So your own path took you from a life you described as unsustainable to a life that fits you. So can you tell us about that journey for us?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about in terms of busy and overwhelmed and family recognizing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my journey is that prior to doing what I do now, I had a 30-year corporate career. Mm-hmm. And even backing up a little bit before that, how I grew up really just sort of turned me into wanting to be an overachiever, a perfectionist, and you know, we'll probably get into that, but as a lot of people and in general feel and believe that, you know, that's the way to go and life will be great. So that's the route I took, got good grades, was a good girl, climbed the corporate ladder, had, you know, great looking bank account and got promotions. And I did that for 30 years and really hustled, tried to be super mom. You know, soccer practice, corporate meeting, get on an airplane, run around airports. Wow. And I just really, really, I mean, to say I got burned out would be an understatement. My health collapsed, my marriage collapsed, my ability to juggle it all just was impossible. And I just lost sight of why was I doing this? This wasn't fulfilling anymore. And I was really in, I was in the higher education space. So it was a space where I was, you know, started really helping students and in non-traditional education, actually. So it was very fulfilling and just got more and more removed from that. And so, you know, I got to a point in my life when things started falling apart and I had that moment, like, what's going on? This isn't sustainable. And why am I doing all these things that are supposed to check the box and make me happy? And it, you know, this is what society, quote unquote, in the world says is everything you should ever want. The dog, the picket fence, you know, this family of beautiful children and been married 25 years. But I could not be more unhappy and feel more, you know, unhappy and miserable inside and still feel like I'm not doing a good job or I'm not good enough. So I sort of put the brakes on and just said, I knew this wasn't what I wanted to do anymore. I certainly didn't jump corporate ship immediately, but I started going on an internal journey of finding out why inside. And I found lots of answers inside. And then through that journey, I realized and found the courage to leave that identity and jump into this. And here we are. So, and certainly that in-between spot was a big transition of me really just loving and believing in myself and being able to have the courage to change that identity and then find my validation on the inside instead of on the outside.
I feel like I hear this a lot in a way from people of this idea that we've been given of this is what happiness looks like.
Yeah.
This is what, here's the path for it. And I want to say, you know, and if I think it fits all sexes in any way, you know, those who identify as male have their own kind of trajectory of what that's supposed to be. And then those who identify as female also, yeah. I feel like at a certain point, you know, maybe in the 80s and 90s, it was like, you can be a career woman, you can be a mom, you can also be a great wife, but you also should try to be a wife and, you know, and do all the things. And then I feel like we enter into that experience. And so many people are like, what? You know, I've had so many women say to me, I was the good girl. I followed the rules. I did what I was supposed to do. So why do I feel like I've been duped?
Yeah. 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 And that is the generation, you know, I grew up in the 80s and, you know, born in the late 60s, 80s girl, got some fun pictures with big hair and makeup and all that, but, you know, in that working 9 to 5 and the more you work, you know, you can do it all. Don't complain. In that corporate life, like, don't even talk about your children or any of that. You know, you would, now I just absolutely love and adore that you see kids in the background on Zoom in corporate meetings, because that was not the world I grew up in. It was do not talk about your family. So, you know, it was completely different. And yet I don't know how much is different. This idea that, you know, yes, this is the formula to be happy. And, you know, my health, I had these habits that I really had to stop and look at and say, why do I keep spending so much? Why do I believe that and feel I'm bad all the time? I had this pattern of shame and I'm bad. And I really kind of would raise one eyebrow and say, but I'm not bad, but why do I always feel bad? Or why do I not accept help or believe that I'm always going to be alone? I mean, I really asked some hard questions and had to go dig deep inside and find those answers. And, you know, I was knocking on the door 50 years old before I had the courage, and I had a very spiritual path before this, yet I was still afraid to peel the onion really, really deep. And when I did, boy, oh boy, did I find out some things that really flipped my life upside down. And I'm so happy that I did, but that certainly wasn't easy. And to my surprise, that formula that, you know, this is what makes you happy, was the complete opposite. You know, validation doesn't come from out there. It comes from inside.
Yeah. And I think, man, it's like I'm supposed to have this conversation today.
Okay.
No, but I just, and it's funny because, you know, I did not take the career path at first. Like I was, and mostly have been a stay-at-home mom and been slowly building a career being a stay-at-home mom and slowly piecemealing together what I want to do. But I have said all those similar things of, I'm not good enough. Why do I feel bad? Motherhood was actually very lonely for me. Mm-hmm. Even though I loved it and I loved being with my kids, but it felt very isolating. And so it was like, I kept thinking, I'm not doing it right. Like somehow I'm just not doing it right.
Yeah.
This is not what I thought any of this was going to be. And there has been this sense of shame, you know, and I think so many people from the stories I've heard too, of people's like all of us are carrying internal shame continuously. Mm-hmm. And I think it does take so much courage to even get to that point of peeling back that onion. Mm-hmm. And so many of us are afraid to even venture into that space because of what we might find, you know? Yes. So how do you help people look at these ways of peeling back and looking at our ingrained beliefs and patterns? So how do we do that?
Sure.
Right.
So, yeah. And there's, you know, there's many different ways how, what I, on my journey, and I tried many different ways and know what, you know, I think it's just a combination, but where I work with clients is through hypnosis and deep subconscious work. And so, you know, we have this beautiful place in our mind, our subconscious mind, and we have our conscious mind, our critical thinking mind, and mm-hmm. you know, great, we need that part of our mind, but it's only 5-10% of how we think and perceive the world. But our subconscious mind, which we don't realize, is really our emotional mind and how we think and feel about ourselves and the world and how we sort of the lens in which we look through. And yet the logical part of us that always says, but I shouldn't feel that way. I have a lovely home. I'm so fortunate to stay at home with my children, or I have this great career and I have this beautiful, you know, situation. Most of my clients actually will call me and say, I shouldn't feel this way. I don't know why I'm even calling you. I should be grateful. Hmm. I feel bad. I even want this, or I feel bad. I don't feel good. So they already have this, like, I should be happy. I shouldn't feel this way. So these, with hypnosis, what we're able to do is go in and find out, you know, why, what are the patterns? And we're able to go back and peel the onion and say, all right, when and where and why were these beliefs created? Because we aren't born with shame. We aren't born feeling not good enough. We aren't born feeling like we need validation from the outside. These programs, these beliefs, you know, how we feel about ourselves, you know, and it doesn't mean we grew up in a home that wasn't nurturing. It doesn't mean, you know, there was this huge trauma. Certainly there could be. Certainly there could be big trauma, little trauma, some trauma, mm-hmm. you know, all definitions and all including, you know, inclusive to anyone that's experienced those things, including myself, actually. But I think I don't want to exclude people that feel like, no, I had a loving home. I don't know why I feel this way. Because, you know, there's so many people that say, no, mom and dad were great. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we didn't have a community, a religious affiliation, our school, our cheerleading group, the football team, anyone where we can gather these beliefs and expectations about how we should feel, or a teacher's comment that creates these programs and beliefs about ourselves that aren't even true. And from there, these little seeds are planted. So that's what I do, is we'll get underneath the rug or the carpet, if you will, and find out, hold on a second, where did this even start from? And I know one of my big beliefs was growing up in a home that was quite chaotic was, well, my needs aren't important. What's really important is I keep this home, you know, as calm as I possibly can. Mm. And my needs aren't important. What's important is let's keep mom quiet. Let's keep mom calm. Let's keep the situation calm. So that is my priority as a child. So I grew up definitely my needs are not important. Everybody else's are. So right away. Yeah.
So I am not as familiar with hypnosis and how that works. So, and I know there's some times when people hear that and they're like, what? So can you then explain how that works and how people come to that and then help listeners who may be skeptical of that journey?
Yes. And it's normal to be skeptical because we've all been to maybe a county fair or seen someone act like a chicken on stage. Even my own children said, oh no, mom, you're going to be like, you know, the guy at the fair. And so definitely not. So hypnosis is a mental state that it actually is very, very natural. And then hypnotherapy is the therapy process of getting you into that state. So I want everyone to think of when we've all driven home, perhaps, and don't recall, you know, did I stop at that light? I don't even remember driving into the track and here I am at home, you know, and did I stop at the light or turn right or left? And I hope I did. I hope I followed all the rules because we're on the phone or we're thinking about dinner or something. So we also, when we go into a dreamlike state, we're in this theta or delta brainwave state. So hypnosis is a natural place in our mind where we quiet the critical thinking mind, the chitty chatter, critical thinking mind. And we open up this place where we're really, really open to suggestions. And I think in the United States, we do not like to think that we're suggestible. I don't want to be suggestible. Yeah. I don't want to be manipulated. But being suggestible means we can suggest to our mind the truth also. So once we find what are the suggestions we've given ourselves that actually isn't true? So there might be a suggestion that you're alone and you're on your own and you might have been given that suggestion your whole life. Okay, well, that was because maybe at that age, that situation, you needed to believe that suggestion to move through that circumstance.
Right.
So let's reprogram and give yourself a better suggestion. And so when you go into a hypnotic state or that delta theta brainwave in hypnosis, you're able to give your mind a better suggestion. And through neuroplasticity, we're able to rewire in a new belief. So hypnosis feels like a meditation, just feels very relaxed. You're not in a trance. I can't make you do anything or believe anything you don't want to. And we're talking the entire time. And I don't think people realize that. I think they think they're in this, you know, state of something's happening to them, but we're chatting the whole time.
That's fascinating. So how have people come out from that experience and change? Because a lot of it, you know, I've experienced like EMDR and things, and I have been amazed when I went through that process and I told my therapist, I was like, what is this? Like,
well, yeah,
I'm like, how did you do this? Like, what is happening? Because it did allow me, you know, one time I would have one experience where I'm just sitting there and I'm talking. And the next time I'm like crying and remembering what it was like being a little girl and, you know, helping that little girl. And so what are some of the things then that have happened to your clients afterwards? And what's the transformation that you've been seeing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it really allows clients to, for example, I'm thinking of a client right now who came to me and is paralyzed in making decisions and fear that she'll always make the wrong decision. I think, you know, we've all been there. But hers was at an extreme as she's starting to create her own business. And as we went back in hypnosis to find out when did that seed start to be planted? And she had a family member that was a doctor in the military, you know, where making mistakes was life-threatening. Mm-hmm. And so this was the environment that she was raised in. And so when she was able to see how that was the environment that she was raised in, and it wasn't that she always made mistakes and that she couldn't trust herself, she was able to have compassion. So I think what hypnosis does is it allows you to see why those beliefs were there in the first place. It's almost like you're watching a movie. And when you see a paradigm shift or you see it differently, you you literally go, oh, that's why I feel that way. That's why that makes sense. That makes sense because maybe that was how my mother thought that was the best way for me to raise me because she believed that, because she was raised that way, or, you know, she was trying to heal or whatever the circumstance was, or my teacher said that, I took it that way. I was five. That made sense at five. That made sense at 10. Or that coach was really inappropriate, you know, said that to me. But you can say, oh, okay, I see why I took it that way. And now I see it differently. It's sort of like when you find out that Santa Claus isn't real, you don't need to go back to every single moment you ever thought that Santa Claus was real. You just know now he's not real.
Right.
And so it's a paradigm shift and say, oh, wow, actually, it's not that I make mistakes, that my dad's feelings and belief, they were had to be so specific that everything was done right, because that was the world he lived in, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how he raised us. And mom actually took his side because mom actually, you know, had that personality to not have boundaries. So yeah. there's so many examples, but that's, I think, the aha moments that people have.
Mm-hmm. It feels to me like part of adulthood is really deconstructing so much of our childhood. You know, like I talk to people all the time where I've like, as have I been going through this journey as well, being in my mid-40s and looking back myself. But I also, from my experience of education and things, I'm like, you know, I feel like a lot of us adults are hurting children.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's hard, you know, to go into those spaces like we talked about before, but I just feel like they're so necessary for us to move forward as a society, to be well as a society, and to learn how to, as best as we can, you know, like not do the same things, even though we will do some of the same things because we learn by modeling, and sometimes that's just ingrained in us.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad you said that. I think one of the things on my own journey that I realized, you know, growing up was I really created this, you know, became into that fight flight mode in my life. And in my marriage, I started to become so overwhelmed where when we would argue, my husband and I, sometimes I would leave mm-hmm. the house. Mm-hmm. And my children, of course, would get scared. Mm-hmm. And now in hindsight, having done this work and my own healing, now my children are in their 20s, you know, just as much as you can reframe your story, I can reframe what that meant to my family, what that did to my family, what that did to my children. And, you know, I sit down and I say, look, this is, you know, I'm so sorry, but let me explain to you how, what I was doing, how I was reacting. And I can see how that made you feel, mm-hmm. and give them the perspective of my, what my nervous system was doing, which I didn't understand at all. Mm-hmm. You know, it was get the heck out of the situation. This is scary. Mm-hmm. But I understand how that made you feel. And now they understand that that wasn't anything to do with them. I have compassion for how that made them feel. They have a different perspective and understanding. And I can go back and say, you know, I should have done better. And this is, and I am doing better now. And this is what you deserved in that situation. Mm-hmm. And you know, so we can always go back. There's a saying when I was in hypnosis school that we can always rewrite our childhood. And that's what hypnosis is nice, is we can always go back and reframe things. Mm-hmm. And when we get a different understanding, then we realize, all right, that wasn't my fault. Or, you know, shift things, shift how we feel about a situation.
That's why I think it's so important. And one of the best lessons I think that I have, you know, encouraged parents and helped them understand is like the power of saying, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know, like we're going to make mistakes. And I tell people, you know, we're we're human beings. We're going to make mistakes, and most of them will be in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's because we're trying to always figure out our needs and wants. Most of us were not even told or given the permission to discover what our needs and wants are. And so the fact that now we're starting to even learn, like, oh, I can have them. I can request them. And then you're like, but how do I do that? How do I talk about it? We always have that fear of rejection, you know? So then it's like finding that bravery and courage. And I just taught second graders the other day about boundaries. And so I told them, I said, to have boundaries, we have to be superheroes. And so I talked about, what does it mean, you know, to be a superhero, and you don't want someone to come near you, because we're talking about like our bodies, right?
Sure.
And so we talked about force fields and creating up a force field. And so we said, how do we do that with our words? But I said, you know, it's hard to even create a force field. And so that's why we have to be superheroes, because there's courage and bravery involved of even learning how to do that. And I think, like, as adults, like, we are just learning. A lot of us are just learning about that, because now we have more awareness.
Yes.
We've been studying this more. And so.
It's such a good point.
Right. So how have you been teaching about, because you talk about boundaries and how you help people with that. So how can we learn to set boundaries?
Sure. Well, I think find out why you don't feel safe having boundaries, first of all. So, mm-hmm. and that is a little bit different for everyone. So mm-hmm. finding out when and where and why, and in hypnosis, you can go back to the reason, the program, what that meant for you to have boundaries. And, you know, for everyone, it's a little bit different. No two people are ever alike. So, you know, yes, we can give you words for boundaries and things like that, but really inside, why was it perhaps not safe, or why do you not feel worthy of boundaries? You know, me telling someone to say no to birthday parties or things like that, that isn't really as, you know, not going to cut it in the end. So right. Why do you not feel worthy of, you know, stop dating someone who keeps stop showing up on time, or someone in a relationship for a long time that isn't going to commit and you want a family and to get married. So, mm-hmm. So I think how I teach boundaries is, let's go in and find out really where this seed was planted of I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, or this fear of rejection, this people pleaser, this desire. We all have a strong desire for connection. And somewhere along the line, there was a disconnection from self. And in the work I do with a higher power, or something, whatever that might be for someone to believe, it, you know, it could be nature, it could be something, but something that we feel good about. There was a disconnection from self. And I think when we trust ourselves and our inner voice, we just start trusting that, then we can start to embody boundaries. But we have to know that we are enough, putting ourselves first, self-compassion, why, you know, what are we available for and not available for? And, you know, the word decide, the Latin word for decide is to cut off. So when you decide, this is what I am worthy of, this is the love that I desire and I'm worthy of, it's pretty easy to cut off certain behaviors or people or circumstances and situations. But if we have to first decide, you know, that you are worthy of it and that you can put yourself first. And I love Brené Brown's research about compassionate people, how they have boundaries of steel, but they're compassionate for themselves first. Yeah. So I start a lot with just what does a morning routine look like, and where do you have compassion for yourself, and where do you put love, you know, into your morning routine or your evening routine, whatever that looks like? Do you take yourself on dates? And I find a lot of people don't love on themselves to build that up. I don't know about in the work that you do, if you find that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I feel like there's like an epidemic of people not feeling enough.
You know, yeah.
I tell, you know, I say when I start talking about sexuality, because it's so personal and people have walls up, and I talk about, you know, every single person in this room is asking, am I okay?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all asking. And so if we can find moments of compassion for that, to recognize the fullness of what that question even is, am I okay? You know, and so I'm curious on your part, because you get to more depth, right? You get into the meat of it, as I could say.
Yeah.
Where do you think this sense of being not enough stems from? Since so many of us experience that, yet not thinking people are experiencing it, right? Like it's almost like we have a veil over ourselves, like, oh, no one else is feeling like this. But in reality, so many of us are.
Yes, yes. You know, it's so easy because we live in a world with social media and everything where we're always compared, right? This comparison of, you know, you should be this or work like this or look like this or feel like this or do this. So, you know, this world of comparison is completely sucking out the you are already enough. Mm-hmm. But one of the core principles that I do all my work on, and I'll go back to it because I said it earlier, is that we are already enough, but we're already have enough approval. We already have a feeling of control, and we already have a feeling of safety within us. And if we don't, it means that we have given that responsibility out to something else to make us feel safe, make us feel in control, or make us feel approved of. And it's based on the Sedona method, if you're familiar. But so if we find out where, when, why you gave your feeling of safety up to the job, the paycheck, the partner, the children is so common. Mm. If I'm a good mother, if my child gets good grades, if they don't get into trouble, then I'm worthy. I'm safe. This is all good. You know, if the house is clean before I go to bed, I feel safe. These are all external things. So if we can just pull all that back and find out where you're waiting for something else to make you feel in control or safe, we can pull all that back and remind you that you actually have the ability to do those things within yourself already. And can be as simple as asking someone, when in the last day have you felt safe? And very, very often it's playing with a dog, going on a walk and looking at a tree, seeing a butterfly. It's not these, you know, huge, big things. You know, it's not when I finished that project at work or when I got the paycheck in my, in my bank account, or when my kid got an A. It's not that. It's these little moments that where we are able to create our own sense of safety and control and approval, because that's what life does when you have it on the inside. We have the ability to find moments in life that fill our piggy bank up with these moments. You just have to look for them. And if you close your eyes and ask yourself, when did I last feel in control or approved of or safe? You will find it. And it is not what you think it might be. It's like someone smiled at me at the car wash. Mm-hmm. I connected with a human being. I have the ability to do that. And once you feel that, you realize, wow, I already have it. So I say that as simple because we need to be reminded we have this already inside of us. Mm-hmm. And the more we train our minds and really this process, the more we go over it and over it and over it. And we are literally reminding our mind to find evidence every day. And that's part of hypnosis is the strongest power. You talk about superpowers, the strongest power in all of us is that whatever your strongest belief is, you will find evidence to support that. So if you believe you already have it in you, every day you walk out the door, you will find evidence of that. If you believe you don't have it, you will find evidence, I don't have it.
Yeah. That's interesting. I think about too, when you were just talking about like the small moments and things, and, you know, over the course of the summer, my family was gifted this sabbatical, which was lovely. And my husband and I just talked about what was great about it was the slowness of life. Like we intentionally chose places to go to where you could be slow. And yeah. I was like, I'm going to carry this with me. And I have not, like, you know, coming back, and it's just been, I feel so dysregulated, because it's like, okay, now we have, you know, we moved, we had school, we have like all this stuff that has happened. Sure. And it's been like one thing after another. And my body is so tense. I am just, you know, and I keep thinking to myself, Kara, when are you going to find the slow again? And I was writing this article, and I was reflecting on like the moments that I cherish like the most from my childhood is the moments when I would lay with a friend on the grass, looking up at stars and having conversations, like the stillness of observing nature, of looking at the big, how big our universe is, but feeling at the same time, this sense of, like you said, like safety, like we're these small little things, but it felt like this enormous sense of safety because I was connecting with another human on a deep level.
Yes. Yes.
Right. I was just thinking, I've been reading the book, What Happened to You, by Dr. Bruce Perry and Oprah. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the sense of disconnection equals disease. And that's like what stands out to me so much, because in this world of like so much technology, there's many ways that we are connected, but it's on this, almost this platform that only allows you to go so far, right? Like we're not able, in my opinion, to go as deep as we could.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I feel like it's actually, you know, there's times where it's great, right? And we're connecting to multiple people all over and we're learning so many things. But at the same time, there's an element of disconnection that is also isolating us even further.
Yes. And it's funny you say that, because when you talk about boundaries and not enoughness, I would say, if I had to sum up the approach I take with clients and in hypnosis, it's let's find out where you became disconnected from yourself and not believing you were enough. So it could have shown up like, you know, in so many ways and happened at school or here or there. And what program was it? And could have been about, you know, your body or your weight or your money, or you didn't have this or that, or you weren't what kind of a mother you should be, or should you work or not work? Or there's so many expectations on us. But somewhere we just disconnected from our own knowingness. Mm-hmm. And so if we can just reconnect to that, we know we are enough. Our intuition is something we do not lean into enough. And when we can find it again and tune into it and get quiet, like you say, and have slow down and listen, we will find evidence in life that reminds us we are worthy, we are enough. And from there, you can build from the inside out, mm-hmm. and find more and more evidence. And when you do, it's the energetic of boundaries. It's just so easy to say, of course I'm worthy of a relationship with someone who wants what I want. And mm-hmm. of course, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to set limits on what I want, or of course I'm going to find a job that feels more fulfilling, or I'm going to eat healthier and not do this or this, not sabotage, you know, whatever we all do at points.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you had talked about, and this is something that I've been thinking about too, is how we start our mornings. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's hard, right? Because maybe we didn't get sleep and things interrupt us all the time. And so it's hard always to keep a routine. But what is something that we can do to shift our mindset? Because you talked about the neuroplasticity. And I think it's good to have things that we can think about as we are learning that we are enough. So what are ways that we can help this neuroplasticity and change the ways we speak to ourselves, like the moment we wake?
Sure. So you know, putting your hand on your heart in the morning and just even saying, I'm grateful for my day. I'm grateful, whatever you're grateful for. I know before I wake up in the morning, and I think I might've started this after Mel Robbins talked about it, but, you know, putting my hand on my heart and just saying, thank you. You know, thank you for this day. I mean, before you think about what you need to do, and you're already late and got to take the kids off or do whatever you need to do. But just having that moment of gratitude and connecting with your body, especially if you've had, you know, any sort of, you know, I've had a lot of anxiety or rush and some trauma in my life, my nervous system, I can wake up with a, oh, you're already behind feeling. Mm-hmm. So this helps calm things down. But a big one is just a very quick, you know, you have to get up and go get a piece of paper, but a very quick journal prompt that I swear by, which is just, I, Christina, or I, Kara, or I, you know, Jim, feel, and just write how you feel. And it could be, I feel tired, I feel lazy, I feel rushed. It doesn't have to be anything really super profound. I, Christina, feel, and then you can write because we need to tune into how do we feel. And we're rushing so quickly to fix something or do something and go into action. And the more we can just get in tune with how we feel, because we start to identify and tune into and respecting and honoring, how do I wake up? How do I feel? And we start to see patterns. And we also can even say, you know, how old do I feel right now? Or how old does this feeling feel? Or even ask yourself, just like when? And you'll start to notice, oh, just like when? Just like when I was in my 20s and I would always feel that way, or just like when. Mm-hmm. Certainly the words we say to ourselves in the morning, you know, our mind responds to the words, and through hypnosis, that is one of the most powerful. Our mind responds to the images and words we make. So are we saying things like, I'm always behind, I'm not a morning person, or are we can flip the script. Mm-hmm. And say, you know, things that are much more, you know, empowering. Like I wake up and I am energized and I am empowered by this. Or, you know, even saying things like, yeah, this is a little blip on the freeway, but soon it's going to, you know, break up and I'll get there smoothly. Like, we tend to say, this is killing me, this is the end of the world. And our mind is responding to that, and our nervous system reacts to that. Like, so listening to what we're saying.
You know how sometimes we have parent guilt? Like every time you're talking, I'm like, oh, let's think about all the words I'm saying out loud in front of my kids.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, like those.
Yeah.
But so much of it too, like, revolves around this time of like, man, there's just so much to do. I can't get everything done. And
yes,
what am I doing? I'm not. And like, I have totally said words like, oh, I'm not good enough with this. Or am I capable of doing this? Yes. And I reflect, I'm like, what are you teaching your kids right now? You know?
Yeah. And I choose is like my new replacement word. It's a great word. Like, I'm choosing, you know, instead of I can't, or, you know, I'm not good at this. So I stopped saying I'm not a morning person. Do I love mornings? No, I really don't, actually. But if I keep saying I'm not a morning person, then I assure you, I will not feel great every morning getting out of bed. But you know what? I'm choosing to get out of bed an extra hour because I really love a morning routine and it sets my day up for success. Mm-hmm. And I know this. So I'm choosing to get up early to do this. I'm choosing. My body loves the vibe and energy I'm choosing to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not a morning person, does not like to wake up an hour early, but I'm choosing does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I was proud of myself today because I chose to go take my daughter really early to school and then just hit the coffee shop and did writing. And I was like, I feel really great right now.
So. I'm choosing this instead of this, instead of I can't eat that. Mm. You know, I can't go to the thing I want to do because I have to be here because, you know, the kids need this or that, but this is what I'm choosing to do.
Yeah. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. There is something I was going to say. You're filling my mind with so many things. Just already how I'm like, okay, I'm going to rephrase this. I'm going to try to rework this. Especially I think how I show up in front of our kids. Right. And I just think so much too, this is the whole apology thing and offering ourselves compassion. You know, if it's like the things that we don't know. Well, this is what I was going to say to you. A lot of this stuff revolves around systems, like this need to feel busy and things. So do you see,
yes,
as technology is taking off even more, but there's also this movement of people being more self-aware, maybe like we're starting to, like everywhere on social media, there's so many things related, I think, to this sense of like deconstructing or looking at our nervous system and how it functions and things like this.
Yeah, sure.
So do you see that we are going to have a shift as a society as we start learning more? Because then I'm curious if we will set up intentional times of being slow, if we're continuing to learn instead of being like, why are we taking this information in and then not changing it as a larger society? Like, why are we still saying we have to work 60 hours a week instead of, you know, going to 30 or something like this, right?
Yeah. That is such a good question. And, you know, I'm going to say my higher self, myself that believes we're moving in that direction. There's so much, you know, I meditate, I pray, whatever is right for someone to do to connect with their selves, you know, whatever that might look like for someone. And it's funny, I have a lot of clients that will say, I'm a meditator, I'm a doer, I'm a this, I'm a that, to check the box. And I think, like, it doesn't matter what you do. So we don't have to do it to feel it. So, but so as long as it's not around, like, I get to check the box and say, I do that. Yes, I do believe the more and more, there is more awareness around this mind and body connection, mind, body, spirit connection. And yet there also is more about, like, still, you know, do, here's a checklist, here's a protocol, which is fine as long as we keep it in perspective. And I do find that my clients are more aware of, hey, you know, besides, you know, this checklist, I'm finding that I need to calm my nervous system. And so, you know, I love sharing with people, you don't have to ever meditate. You don't ever have to journal. Let's find what works for you. You know, I had a client recently say, I'm never going to have a morning routine. So we created a great evening routine for her, and it's working out brilliant for her. So yes, I do feel there's more awareness of that. And I think that's a really, really important piece as we just expand that our mind and our body, they are connected, and we can't ignore one without the other. And the more we become, you know, this holistic approach, right?
Yeah. So I'm looking at time already.
Okay.
I feel like we could talk for two more hours, but I ask each one of my guests, what story are you reframing today?
You know, I changed this career in my 50s, into this career in my 50s. So I'm really reframing what being an empty nester and this part of my life looks like, as most of my friends are talking about retirement and slowing down. That isn't what I feel like is my story. So sometimes I feel like, yeah, but shouldn't I be doing that? Shouldn't I want that? Mm-hmm. And so I'm reframing for me what feels right, and going against the grain of what, you know, what am I supposed to be doing at 55 and being an empty nester, shouldn't I want to go to Florida and, I don't know, do something that anybody should, tells me I should be doing. So I'm reframing that part and just being really vulnerable and open about what it looks like for me. Mm-hmm. And being okay, you know, when I get together with girlfriends and other couples, that this part of my life looks very different than most people in my age, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And I also love too, because sometimes, you know, like you said, you were doing something for 30 years, and it feels like when we start giving ourselves permission to really know who we are, and then we enter into a new phase of like, well, this is actually feels really good to me, and this is what I want to do. Like, that's a sense of excitement and joy. And it's like, why wouldn't we want to do that? Regardless, like you said, of what like society's telling us to do.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I like hanging out on a beach, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just like, this is me, guys, as I'm living into me. And this.
Yeah.
Is
but there's that little voice that says, yeah, but what about your, you know, 401k and your retirement? It's like, yeah, we'll have that too, but I still want to create and do things. So framing mm-hmm. all that feels I guess giving myself permission to rewrite what I thought I would be doing at this age.
That's great. So what will you tell people? What would you tell people who are hearing this and listening about learning, who feel that they're not enough, who want to peel back the layers, who want to enter this journey? What kind of insight or encouragement would you say to them?
I would say, get really curious about your patterns, about the understanding that the beliefs that we believe about ourselves are so often not even true. And oftentimes they're not even from us. They're from other people projecting around us. And when we can get really, really curious, we can rewrite those programs and stories, because you're born enough. You're born already full of so much. So you can just peel back those things. And it is actually much, much easier than you realize to reprogram and find the truth about you. You can heal yourself. You have the answers inside. So
that's great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much.